He is so faithful. Amen. Go ahead. You can grab a seat. All right. You know, there's a famous song that goes something like this. What the world needs now is love, right? Sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of, right? We've all heard the song before, right? And I think as we listen to the words of that song, I think we can all admit, every single one of us can admit, that in a lot of ways, the world is an incredibly loveless place, right? I mean, as you look around the world, it's apparent, it's painfully obvious in a lot of ways that our world needs love in the worst way. I mean, for me, as I just look at what's transpired in our world over the last 3 to 5, even 10 years, I mean, it's just becoming more and more obvious how badly the world needs love. I look at how people treat one another, the words that we speak to one another, right? I think about social media and the phenomenon that has occurred with that and the way that people talk to one another and treat one another. It's sickening sometimes. And I think what's even more sickening for me is that oftentimes the church, the bride of Christ, the people who are supposed to exude love more than any other group of people on the planet, oftentimes are not any better. And so I've actually been thinking about this a lot over the last couple of months. This whole idea of love and what does it really mean? Because I think at the end of the day, one of the issues that we have in our culture is that we don't really understand what love is. We don't. We say things like, love is love. Have you heard that before? Right, you've probably seen that on the back of a car, on a bumper sticker. You've seen it on a billboard somewhere, right? Love is love. And that sounds really good. And in one way, that's true. Yes, absolutely, love is love. But what is love? Like, we have to be able to define what love actually is before we can make a blanket statement like, love is love. And so I've been thinking about this series that we're getting kicked off this week. If you're joining us for the first time, maybe here at True North, here's what we'll do. We'll take a topic, we'll take a passage of scripture, a book of the Bible, and we'll try to unpack it for several weeks and try to dig into it as much as we possibly can. And so that's what we're doing today. We're starting a brand new series that we're calling This Is Love. And we're going to talk about this from a biblical perspective. I mean, what is it? What is love really? Where does it come from? And what does it look like for us as people of Jesus, as his church, as followers of Christ? What does it look like to actually love the world around us the way that God loves us? What have we been called to as a people and called to as a church? See, I think we struggle so much in this world, and Christians are included in this. We struggle so much to love because we've, number one, never really experienced deep, true, like on a deep soul level, we've never experienced the love of God in the way that we were created to experience it. Many of us have had things happen to us. We've been damaged. We've been hurt. Right, we've got, many of us have kind of walls and barricades up, if you will, that are preventing us from experiencing in that. And so what I want to do in this series is I want to unpack what God says, what his word says about love. And I want us to be able to walk out of here as a church, maybe for some of us for the very first time, experiencing his love in a way that maybe we never have before. And being able to walk out of here and show that love that we've experienced in a new and a fresh and a powerful, powerful way. At the core of this series really is this truth that love comes from our Heavenly Father. It comes from him. And until we understand that, until we understand who he is and what he is about, and until we experience it, we will never be able to give it. And we're going to look at the life of Jesus in the weeks to come. And we're going to look at how he kind of shifted the paradigm, if you will, on this whole idea of love. For centuries and centuries, it looked one way. And then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ came along and he completely flipped it upside down on its head. And it's one of the things that I love so much about Jesus. We're going to look at that in the next few weeks. Really, at the end of the day, this series, it's a call to experience his love, and it's a call to live it out in the world. And if I'm being honest with you today, and I have to put myself into this category, right? Because I am a part of the church. The church is not a building. The church is not an organization or an institution. The church is the people of God, the bride of Christ. We have not done a great job in many cases as the church of loving the way that Jesus loved. And so I think as we get started today, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. As we dig into this first week and as we get ready to look at the weeks to come, can we just be honest with ourselves? Like, so much of change and growth only happens when we can look in the mirror and take an honest assessment of my heart, my spirit. Where am I? What has God really been doing in my life? And have I been responding to it? Because I believe he wants to do something in your life through this series and through his word today. And so if you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to open to the book of 1 John with us today. We're going to begin in chapter 4 and verse 7. And what we're going to do today is we're just going to lay a foundation. This first message is going to be incredibly foundational. In the weeks to come, we're going to really unpack specific ways that we're supposed to be called out to love in the world differently than the world. But today, we've got to understand some things. Number one, we've got to understand what love is, what it really truly is from a biblical perspective, and we need to understand where love comes from, because until we understand those two things, we will never love well. And so John, the gospel writer, also wrote these three other books, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And John, if you know anything about him, one of the key things that he just focuses in on is the love of Christ, the love that he had for us, for his disciples, and the love that we are called to pour out in the world. So you're going to find John talking about this topic of love all over the New Testament in his writings. And he begins this particular passage that we're going to read by saying this. He says, "Dear friends," I love that. I love that language. I think sometimes we just blow right over that. "Dear friends, my brothers and sisters, people who I love, the church, listen to me. I have something important to say. Dear friends, let us love one another." He says, "For love comes from God." Let's just stop right there for a second. Love one another. Why? Because love comes from God. And so this is the very first thing that we need to understand. Where does love come from? It comes from God. Real love, authentic, true love comes from God and God alone. And it is a divine, it is a perfect, it is a holy love that can only be experienced when we know God. I want you to think deeply with me for a moment about that. What John is saying is that love comes from God. Without God, we can't understand love. If we don't know God, we can't really know love, right? It is not, and this is where our culture and our world has certain definitions of love, right? Right, there's the Eros kind of love. And that's the love that is most prevalent in popular culture, right? That Greek word eros, it is that romantic. It's that red hot romantic love that we see all over music and movies and Hollywood and the media, right? But I would liken that type of love, because it's a worldly love, that has more to do with lust and passion of the flesh than it does with what real love is all about. Doesn't mean it's necessarily always wrong, but it is not the deep-rooted, godly love that is supposed to be flowing out of all of us. That's a feeling. Real, true, authentic love is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's something so much deeper. And so the word love that is used here is the Greek word. And some of you who've maybe grown up in the church, you've heard a message maybe on this before. You've heard this word before. It's the word agape. It's agape love. It's the love that the Father, our Heavenly Father, pours out and bestows on us. It is godly love. It's agape, and it can only come from Him, and it can only flow out of someone who has been, don't miss this, transformed by Him. There are counterfeits of this in our world. We see it kind of in moments in our world. People can live this out in moments, but to truly have this be an outpouring, a flowing out from your very, like, deep down inside of you, it has to come from God. But not only does love come from God, this is so powerful. It says, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Love doesn't just come from God. It's not just something that He gives to us or pours out on us. It is actually the very essence of who He is. I would argue there are two things, two characteristics of the nature of God that make Him more who He is than anything else. And He is a lot of things. But He is, above all, He is holy and He is loving. And those two things go hand in hand. He is holy. That means He is set apart. He is perfect in all that He does. And He is loving. And His love is directly attached to His holiness. That means it's perfect. The type of love that we receive from God is a perfect love, because He is love. You cannot separate God from His love, because it is who He is. Now, I think one of the reasons that our world struggles so much, and I think we can all admit this, come on now, right? Our world struggles to love. We see it in little moments and glimpses, but for the most part, the world is a hard place. It's a hateful place in a lot of ways. And we talk a big game, don't we, in our culture about love? We really like to talk about how we're supposed to love everyone, right? Love is love. Love everyone. And yet, every time I turn around, what I see is the definition of that is, okay, if someone is like you, if someone thinks like you, if they look like you, if they act like you, if they hold the same ideologies as you, then you love them. But if they don't, oh, well, then I don't have to love them, right? And so we talk this talk of love everybody, but what we really mean is love the people who are like you, who agree with you. Love the people you want to love. And if they hate you, if they say bad things about you, then you don't have to love them, right? The world talks such a big game about love, and yet it is still such a loveless place. And here is why. Again, don't miss this morning. Don't miss this, because they do not know God. We do not know God, and we do not understand His love for us. And because of that, we will never love the way that God calls us to love. We will never love like Him until we have actually experienced deep down inside of our heart and our soul the kind of love that He has for us, the kind of love that He shows to us on a regular basis. Without a relationship with God, this is the bottom line, we are incapable of understanding love, and we're incapable of living it out. And so we see here in the very beginning of this passage that love comes from God, but we also need to understand that it is a love like nothing else in this world. It's a love that is incomprehensible to the outside world. It's different. It is a different kind of love. Why? Well, John doesn't just leave us hanging there. He goes on here and he explains something. He gives us a picture of what real love looks like, a representation. And this is so powerful. He goes on, he says, this is how God showed his love among us. This is how God shows his love. It says, he sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is love. That we were dead. Listen to what it says. It says he sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. We were dead. We were doomed. And this isn't politically correct, but we were doomed to a life in hell separated from God forever because of our sin, because of our choices. But God and his love, through his love, intervened through Jesus Christ on the cross, who went to the cross to put himself in our place so that we wouldn't have to experience that, so that we could get the full outpouring of his love. That's the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross. You want to know what real love looks like? Look at Jesus. That's the gospel in a nutshell. You want to understand love? Do you want to understand how you are to love the world? Look at Jesus. Look at the way he lived. Look at the compassion that he showed to people. Look at the selflessness with which he lived. Look at his humility. The cross puts all of that on full display for all to see. All of those things, all of those attributes of God's love are manifested right there on the cross. His selflessness, his humility, his great love for us, it's all right there. And it's so different from the world's love. The world's love is contractual. Whether we understand that fully or not, it is. Right? The world's love says, if you do X, if you do this for me, then I will do this for you. If you love me the way that I want to be loved and the way that I feel like I need to be loved, then I will love you and I will love you the way that you need to be loved. But if you do not do that for me, then I'm not doing it for you. That's the world's definition of love. The definition of Christ's love doesn't go anything like that. Instead, Jesus says, I love you. I love you so much that I'm willing to die for you, even though you do not deserve it, even though every day of your life you have done things, you have sinned against me and done things that should separate you for eternity from me. And yet Jesus says, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to become a servant to you. I'm going to love you by going to the cross. Jesus is the proof of God's love for us. It is all right there on the cross. It's different. It's transcendent. It's beyond what we in our humanness can understand, because I'll be totally honest and real and raw with you this morning. That's really hard. Right? When somebody does something to me to make me feel unloved, in my humanness, in my human nature, the last thing I want to do, this is not my natural reaction, is to turn around and love them back even though they just did that thing to me. That's not natural. And yet this is what Jesus did for us and what he calls us to do. Ultimately, what the cross does is it destroys any argument that God is not loving. Right now, this could be a whole nother message, but many of us have heard this before, right? God can't be loving. Because look at how many awful things are happening in the world today. Look at all the hurt and the pain, the suffering that is going on in individuals' lives. And I don't deny that. I don't deny that there is hurt and pain and suffering. And people are going through hell on earth, some people. But ultimately, this is what the cross does. See, God doesn't want anyone to be separated from him. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. God sent Jesus to save us from hell. He sent Jesus to save us from all of the bad decisions that we have been making in this life, to redirect us, to change the trajectory of our life. He sent Jesus Christ out of love for us. It's probably the most famous verse in all of Scripture, John 3:16. Right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, right? And then the second part of that, and I feel like we read John 3:16 and then we skip right over 17, but look at the power of this. He says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He is not a God who desires condemnation. Condemnation is what comes out of our lack of response to his saving grace. God does not, and maybe you could look at this as semantics, but God doesn't really send anyone to hell. We choose that. We choose it by not accepting his grace, by not accepting the cross. And because he is loving, he is also just, and the just punishment for sin against a perfect holy God is hell. And I don't say any of that to be, I don't want to be fire and brimstone here today. Like, that's not the point of this. The point of this is to show how amazing his love is. Because we won't ever fully understand his love until we understand his justice. That is what we should receive, and yet we don't. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. He desires to save us, not to condemn. That's what he wants for our lives, because he loves us. I also love this. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes. Again, I think we blow over that sometimes. Do you hear that? Whoever believes. That means anyone. That the love of God that was completely exemplified on the cross is for all people. It is for everyone. Black, white, rich, poor, educated, uneducated. It is for all people. It is the most inclusive thing that has ever been. God's love is. It's an enduring love that doesn't change. It doesn't change based on our behavior. It doesn't change based on our merits and how much we've achieved or accomplished. He loves us as much as you could possibly be loved, and nothing will ever, ever change that. That's the message that Jesus came to bring 2,000 years ago. Do we understand, if we understand historical context, I want you to think about this with me for a second. For thousands of years, this is how it worked. If you do this thing, then you will be loved. If you are a part of the right group, right? And even the Israelites, the Jewish people, they believe this. We're God's chosen people, right? If you were part of the in crowd, then you were loved by God. But anybody outside of that, you weren't loved. And if you were part of the in crowd, you didn't have to love the people on the outside of that crowd. Jesus comes along and completely shifts the paradigm. From this point forward, this is for everyone. This is for all people. I welcome in Jew and Gentile into the family of God. That's what Jesus said. It's so inclusive, this love. And it is unlike anything in our world. It is so very different. Jesus brought that. Jesus Christ brought that into the world. No one else. Love comes from God, and we can see it through Christ on the cross. And it is when we experience that kind of love that we should then show that kind of love. Once we fully experience what God has done in our lives, there should be an outpouring of that love in our world. It should change us. Again, it's transcendent. And so this is how John ends this particular passage that we're reading today. He says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So he throws that challenge down again. That's how we started. We should love one another. Because God so loved us, because he sent Christ for us. "No one has ever seen God," he says. "But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." You see, we will know, this is what John is saying. We will know that we have truly experienced the love of God when we begin to show that same love to the world around us. And so he's dropping a serious challenge here. He says, if you've experienced the love of God, this incredible grace that he pours out on us, the only appropriate response is to love the world that same way, to love the people around you with that same kind of selfless, humble love. And if you're not loving that way, then I think we have to question if we've really had an experience with God's love. You see, I think so many of us, we know about God's love, don't we? Right? We've especially if you've grown up in the church, you've heard this before. You've heard that God is love, that he's a loving God, that he loves you, that Christ went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. We've heard all of that. We've got all the knowledge in the world. But have we experienced it? Has it taken root in our soul to the point that it's changing us? That's the question that we have to wrestle with today. This is the challenge that John is putting down for us. We have to show that love if he's changed us inside. And I love this. He says, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. It's made complete. In other words, how we love is how we know that we've really experienced God's love. And so the problem I want to just unpack here for the last few minutes here. See, much of the world has never experienced the love of God. And I would argue that even though many Christians have a head knowledge of this, that many of us have never really experienced this. And I will start with myself today. I'll be transparent with you of my own life. For a long time, I was a Christian who had a lot of head knowledge. But the truth of the gospel, the power of his love, was not transforming me. It wasn't. I was not experiencing the love of God in my life. I knew of the love of God, but I wasn't experiencing it. And because I never opened myself up, I had a wall up. I had this barricade up against the love of God in a way. And because I never experienced it myself, I had a really hard time showing it. And I'm still battling this today. And what I want you to hear today is this, is that God wants to so fill you up with his love that it is literally overflowing and pouring out of you to the world around you. But that cannot happen until you allow him to fill you first. He wants to fill us up supernaturally with his love, with a love that never runs dry. I love this in Romans 5:5. This is how Paul puts this. He says, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Did you hear that? God's love has been poured out on us. How? Through the Holy Spirit. For those who are in Christ, we have experienced a love that is constantly being poured out into us. Right? It is a love that is supernaturally bestowed on us as believers. And I don't think we understand how amazing of a gift that is. To have a constant flow of love being poured out into us to the point where we do not need love from anything else in this world because we have so experienced it from our Heavenly Father is just an unbelievable gift. An unbelievable gift. I want to give you an illustration this morning of this, and I hope that this will resonate with some of you. Because a long time ago, I gave this illustration, and as I was preparing and studying for it, it just changed my perspective on this pouring out of love that God is wanting to pour into me and how he wants to use it to pour out into others. And so I want you to imagine, this is you, this glass. You are an empty vessel. We, all of us, are an empty vessel. Without the love of God, the Spirit of God, he puts his breath inside of us. We are nothing without him, right? We are this empty vessel. But when God enters into our life, he desires to fill us, right? For those of us who are in Christ, we've received the Holy Spirit of God. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, there is this outpouring that he is constantly wanting to put into our lives, right? And so we receive this love, right? And we're going to pretend that this water is love, right? And so from God, we get this love. And sometimes we let a little bit in, right? And sometimes we kind of block it off and we say, nope, that's enough, right? Sometimes we let them fill us almost to the brim, maybe some of us. We get almost full. But very rarely do we actually allow God to fill us to overflowing. And what many of us do is we don't even seek our love from God. We try to seek it from other people. Maybe it's in our spouse. Maybe it's in a friend, a relationship. Maybe it's in our job somewhere else. We try to get love from everywhere but from the actual source of real, true love. And here's what happens. Here's another person, whoever they might be. And we take our love that we've got, whatever amount of love we've got. You know, it's pretty full right now. I'm pretty filled up with love right now. I'm feeling good. I'm going to give some of that to this person over here. And now guess what? I got a little bit less love in me. Because the love that I have inside of me, it's not forever. It's not constantly flowing out of myself. Because I've only got so much love to give in my humanness. And so I give a little bit more. You know, because I want to love people. I want to do what's right. But I'm starting to get a little empty here now. And so in order for me to get filled back up, I've got to go to one of two places. I've got to go to the source of real love, or I've got to go back to somebody else. And if they don't fill me back up, I'm just going to keep getting drier and drier. And I've poured myself out, and I've poured myself out, and I pour myself out, and all of that whole time I'm expecting somebody's going to pour back into me because I'm pouring out into them. But a lot of times that doesn't happen, does it? Come on, be honest with yourself. You've been in a situation where you just poured yourself out over and over again. I loved my family. I loved my kids. I loved my wife. I loved my friends. And I just don't feel like I'm getting any love back. I don't feel like anybody's pouring back into me. And you feel empty. And all of a sudden, I don't got anything left to give. Until somebody comes along and maybe they do show me a little bit of love. Awesome. I got a little bit back. And now I can pour a little bit back out. And then I need to get some more from somebody else. And then I can pour some out again. But then I'm going to always need, and it's just this, do you see? Do you see how it's just this constant transfer back and forth of a love that will never complete or satisfy your soul? But there is a love. There is a God who through the power of the Holy Spirit offers to give us a love that just pours out of us, that overflows in us, that never stops, that never runs dry. And when he starts pouring that love in, it starts to come out and it just flows and flows and flows and flows and it never stops. I want you to imagine right now that this water never stops. This is his love. He wants to pour it out into you. And he wants that love to overflow and to spill out into this pan. Imagine that's the world. And he just wants it to spill out and overflow into every aspect, every person of your life. But you will never experience that kind of love being able to be poured out of you, flowing out of you, until you experience the love that God is pouring into you. This is the love that he offers. It is a never-ending, never-failing, overflowing type of love. The world, guys, the world is loveless because everyone is trying so desperately to get love from everywhere that they can get it, to fill themselves up just enough so that they can give it out. And it's just this constant transfer of a counterfeit. It will never really sustain. And so as we close today, I have one challenge for us. To understand the love of God, to understand where it comes from, to understand that God is love and that he has this desire to just pour himself out on you. It's great to have that knowledge, but we actually have to experience it. We have to let it change us. We have to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit's flow of love in our lives. And so this is it, right here. This is the message. Get in the flow. Get in the flow of his love. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of searching for love in all the wrong places, believing that it will really fully sustain me. I want that outpouring. I want that overflowing of his love in my life. And so the first step is so simple. It really is. It's understand how deep the Father's love is for you. I love this in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. After we repented, is that when Christ died for us? No. It says, while we were still sinners, before we repented, before we turned from our sin to follow him, he loved us enough to die for us before we ever even made that decision. It's so much different than the world's love, and it is so much better. I think about, I've been watching this series, and some of you that are close to me, you're probably already getting tired of me hearing about it because I've been talking about it a lot. But there's this series that came out called The Chosen. And if you haven't watched it yet, I cannot encourage you enough to go and watch it. It is powerful. And in this series, it depicts Jesus and the way that he interacted with people, the way that he loved people, the way that he put his arms around the leper, the outcast, the way that he put his arms around the woman caught in adultery, the way that he spent time with sinners and outcasts and all of the people in the world who nobody loved. And yet he loved them with an everlasting love. It is his love that frees us from feeling unlovable. Some of us, we have a barricade up against that love for whatever reason. And I think there's a couple of reasons. One, I think for some of us, we feel so damaged and so broken. We feel so ashamed of what we have done in our lives that we don't believe God could ever possibly love us. He couldn't love somebody like me. I've done too many things. There's just no way. And I think about all those people that Jesus interacted with in his short ministry on this earth and how he loved them. There's nothing that we can do to make God love us any less. But I think on the flip side of that, there's a pride thing going on. There's some of us that actually maybe don't even really believe we need the love of God because we got it all together. I haven't really done anything that bad in my life. I'm pretty righteous, right? And so we block the love of God in that way. Have you experienced the love of God? Because once you do, and I mean really experience it, it changes everything. This is what Jesus says, repent and believe. Repent of your sin and believe that I loved you enough to die on the cross for you, and I am going to set you free into a life of loving like you have never experienced before. you are going to change the world around you because you are allowing that love, the love that I am pouring out into you consistently, overflowing in your life to change the world. Man, that's what I want the church to be. That's what I want True North Church to be. And that is the second step. First step, experience his love for you. Second step, let his love overflow in your life. If you have Christ, if you have the Spirit of God inside of you, pouring out his love on you relentlessly, if you're actually allowing that to take place in your life, then it should become easy to give that to other people. Because it's no longer about me having to search and strive and scratch and claw to get love from everybody else in my life. Instead, I'm free to just love people. I'm free to pour out the love of Christ that he has poured out on me into the world around me. When his love is just constantly flowing into our lives, it frees us to give love without ever having that need of the return of that love. Why? Because what did John say? His love is made complete in us. It is a complete love. It is all we need. It is more than enough. And so I want you to imagine. Can you imagine even what your life would be like if you felt that kind of love all the time? If you were constantly just filled up knowing how much you were loved. Can you imagine how it would change the world if every single Christian was able to pour out that same kind of love into the world around them? I would argue that our world would look very, very, very different. Imagine all people in this room, even just a room this size, going out into our communities, our neighborhoods, our world, and loving people without the constant expectation of having to be loved back. Because you are already so loved. You have already been given a love that nothing else in this world will compare to. And that doesn't mean it's not good to be loved by other people. Yeah, absolutely it is. But I'm not desperately needing it to be fulfilled. I'm filled. I've been poured out on by my Heavenly Father. If we would do this, I absolutely believe it would change. It would change our marriages. It would change how we parent. It would change our relationships with our coworkers, people in our neighborhoods. It would change the world. And I know that it would change the world because for 2,000 years, it has been changing the world. It has. And so over the coming weeks, here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about practically, specifically, okay, what does that actually mean? What does it look like to love like Christ practically in the day-to-day of my life? I'm excited about that because I believe as a church, we have the opportunity to change our community and our world in an unbelievably powerful way. But we have got to get this. We've got to experience his love so that we can pour that love out.